You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Friday, January 12th, 2018, and this is the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I, of course, am John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it. Options include iTunes and Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. We have reached divisional weekend of the NFL playoffs. This is, I think, the best weekend of the NFL season because you get wall-to-wall action. You get two games Saturday, two games Sunday, and generally speaking, these are the eight best teams in the NFL. I say generally speaking because that's the way it works out most years. I think this year, maybe on the edges, things did not quite work out that way because you have Tennessee there. I don't think Tennessee is one of the eight best teams, but more or less, these are the cream of the cream, these teams playing this weekend. On today's podcast, I'm going to predict the divisional games. Of course, as I told you last week, and as I've told you as long as this podcast has existed in the playoffs, my dream is one year to go perfect, to go 11-0 in the playoffs, and that dream will not happen this year. Of course, I lost the first game of the playoffs. The dream died quickly this year when I picked Kansas City over Tennessee last weekend, and then for good measure, I lost the second game Saturday, but I did go 2-0 on Sunday, so that brings me to 2-2 in the postseason. So as I play out the string, we'll just try and improve my record as best I can. So let's jump into these games, these divisional games. And the first game of the weekend takes place tomorrow afternoon. It's in Philadelphia as the Atlanta Falcons visit the Philadelphia Eagles. A very odd game from the standpoint the Falcons are a 6 seed who are favored in the divisional round over a 1 seed, which is not something you usually see. And I will tell you, normally, in a scenario like this, I would be very high on the Eagles because I think it's always dangerous when everybody is gravitating toward the road team. You know, usually that's a sign you should go to the home team, but there's a reason, there's a very specific reason everybody's gravitating toward the road team in this game. And I mean, I just can't go with the Eagles, and it's really as simple as the quarterback situation. I just don't trust Nick Foles. You know what's funny is the last time the Eagles were in the playoffs, Nick Foles was their starting quarterback. And if you had asked me or pretty much anybody at that point back in 2013, who will be the starting quarterback the next time the Eagles were in the playoffs, you probably would have answered Nick Foles. And I probably would have answered Nick Foles. That was the year he threw 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. And the funny thing is you'd be right. It's just you never would have guessed the path we took to get here, where Foles would bounce around the league. You know, he never again approached that magical 2013 production. He'd bounce around the league and then step into the starting lineup because the new franchise quarterback in Philly gets hurt. But that's where we are. And I'll tell you, I just don't trust Foles in this game. It's really that simple. I just don't think he's that good. I think, you know, he had that one magical year, and he'll always have a job in that league, in the league, because that's part of his resume. Because every team will talk themselves into the idea that any team could talk themselves into the idea of Foles as a backup. Well, we have a backup who at least threw 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions one year, but I just don't think he's going to be able to put up the points necessary to win this game. And that's really what it comes down to. And I mean, it's really an unfortunate string of events for this Eagles team, because the way this season setting up, the Eagles had a chance. I mean, this was a Super Bowl setup for the Eagles, and then they just suffered some key injuries. And, you know, Carson Wentz is not the only key injury for the Eagles. That's something that's worth noting, but I think they could have weathered every injury until Wentz got hurt. I think it was just, you know, it's an unfortunate turn of events. And it reminds me of the season the Arizona Cardinals had a couple of years ago where it looked like things were setting up for this magical year, and then they just kept suffering injuries, and then they lost not only Carson Palmer but Drew Stanton, and things just kind of fell apart at the end of the season. And that's the kind of year I think the Eagles are having. And I'm not even really that high on this Atlanta team. I really don't love them, but it's just I think they've run into a couple favorable matchups. And even though I picked the Rams last week, after that game, I sat down and I started thinking about why, you know, what happened in that game. And, you know, everybody points to the inexperience of the Rams, and that may have played a role, but, you know, there was another factor I did not consider as I was picking that game, and that comes down to, I don't know whether motivation's the right word, but just the team's mindset entering the game. And what I mean by that is the Falcons are a team, and look, everybody's playing hard in the playoffs, everybody really wants to win, but the Falcons have that little extra edge because this season really cannot be considered a success for Atlanta unless they win the Super Bowl. And I think that, you know, that's kind of a driving force. Now, last weekend, I think the Rams, to some extent, were probably just happy to be there because no matter what happened last weekend, the Rams were kind of playing with house money. This season was a smashing success for the Rams, no matter what happened. And it's not that way with the Falcons. I think the Falcons, because of what happened in last year's Super Bowl, they're never going to be able to erase that pain, you know, that misery until they win the championship. So just getting to the divisional round, just getting to the championship, just getting to the Super Bowl is not a successful year, I think, for the Falcons. I think they have to win it to erase that memory, that bitter loss to New England in the game that really they had won, and they just kind of gave away, and the Patriots did their part in taking it. And you look at where the Eagles are, and again, the Eagles are kind of in the same spot as the Rams, is no matter what happens, this is a great season for the Eagles. You know, your franchise quarterback took a major step forward. You hope you'll be back. You think there's a good chance you'll be back in the future because, again, you have this franchise quarterback who showed you so much in the second year. Now you have the little added dimension of the backup quarterback going in. I mean, nobody's going to blame you if you lose this game. And I think that, you know, that may play a role in how things play out. So I am going with Atlanta in this first game of the weekend. I don't love picking the road team everybody's on the bandwagon for, but I think in this case there is a very good reason, and I agree with that reason why everybody's on the bandwagon. So Atlanta in the first game. Our nightcap is the Tennessee Titans against the New England Patriots, a game which I think probably will be the biggest matchup of the 11 games that get played in the playoffs. Of course, we still have a few games to go after this. And again, the Patriots, just like last year, the Patriots get a primetime slot for a lousy divisional game. You know, I think typically you want to put the NFL wants to put the two best games as the late games, the primetime Saturday game and the late afternoon Sunday game. And the two worst games of divisional weekend are the early Saturday game, the early Sunday game. And really, the primetime game should be Pittsburgh-Jacksonville. It's a much more intriguing game. And this Tennessee team is just not that good. And look, give them credit. They won. They beat the Jaguars when they had to. You know, meaningless game for Jacksonville. Jaguars played hard. Last week, the Chiefs fell apart. I mean, the Titans aren't playing this weekend if the Chiefs don't give them a lot of help. But the Titans took the help, and the Titans made some plays when they had to. So, look, give credit to the Titans where due. But this is a team that, if you look at them over the course of the full season, it's just not that good of a team. You know, again, the quarterback was not that great. And, you saw that last weekend. I mean, there were a couple fumbles that got wiped off the board that could have swung that game. So they got some help from the officials as well. This was a team that was outscored during the course of the regular season. And, you know, they're heading into Foxborough against a very good Patriots team. So I just, you know, I think we all know what the formula is if Tennessee is going to have any chance in this game. And that's going to be Derrick Henry's going to have a crazy game. And essentially what they're going to have to do is they're just going to have to keep that New England offense off the field. And the other thing is, the Patriots just can't play. I mean, the Titans have no chance if the Patriots play their best game. They need the Patriots to have an off day. That's really what they need. Now, you know, one thing I did notice is that it actually is going to be kind of cold out there tomorrow night in Foxborough. Wind chill will be in the teens, so will that play an impact? Maybe from this standpoint is we saw the Patriots the last time they took the field. It was week 17 against the Jets, and it was a bitterly cold, not as cold, you know, it was colder than it will be tomorrow night, but a bitterly cold day. And I actually think the cold kind of affected Tom Brady. You may remember Brady, the Patriots won easily, but Brady was bad in that game. And I'll tell you, if you watch closely, you see subtle little signs that Brady's not the guy he used to be. Now, I say that you have to take that statement within context before you go crazy on me. You have to understand that 90% of Tom Brady in decline is still playing at an MVP level. Tom Brady, you know, 90% of Tom Brady is still the best quarterback in the NFL. So keep that in mind. But they're just, you know, these little cracks in the armor that you're starting to see where maybe he's checking it down because he doesn't want to take a big hit. You know, maybe his body can't hold up. There are throws he misses that he used to hit. You know, just little things. Maybe he doesn't deal with the cold as well, the bitter cold as well as he used to. So maybe that's something that gives you a little bit of hope if you're Tennessee. But again, I mean, Tom, we should all decline as well as Tom Brady's decline, because Tom Brady's still playing at an MVP level. So, I mean, but what it boils down to is the Titans. It can't just be the Titans play their best game. It's both these teams play their best game. The Patriots will win this game by 2-3 scores. They need the Patriots to have an off day. And I think there are too many things that need to go right for the Titans to win this game. So I'm going with the Patriots in the nightcap, you know, big surprise. So that's, you know, that's so on the during the Saturday games, I have last year's Super Bowl teams advancing to the conference title games. I have Atlanta over Philly and New England over Tennessee. We turn to the Sunday games, and we have the better of the two AFC games kicking things off. It's Jacksonville at Pittsburgh. It's a rematch of an early season game. And I know what a lot of people are going to say is that the Jaguars beat the Steelers pretty handily early in the season. They went into Pittsburgh. Not only did they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers earlier in the season, they really dominated them in Pittsburgh. So this game was not in Jacksonville. So, you know, you have that element entering the game. But I'm going with the Steelers in this one. I think the Steelers get revenge. That was a game week five. That was before the Steelers, and the Jaguars have a great defense, but that was really before the Steelers got rolling. And there's just one thing that sticks out at me, and that's the quarterbacks. And I've said many times that this is a Jaguars team that scares me, because I could see this defense winning any individual game, and I could see this quarterback losing any individual game by himself. Sometimes you have playoff games, and look, a win's a win. You always want to win to advance, but there are playoff games you win where you start to feel better about a team. You really start to feel things are coming together. And there are wins that leave you feeling not so good about a team going forward. And that's what the Jaguars had against Buffalo. And that's, again, because of the quarterback play. And it's Blake Bortles. And it's not just that I don't trust Blake Bortles. It's that it seems like the coaching staff, the people who know him, don't believe, they're terrified to put him in a position where he actually has to make real throws. Jacksonville came out in that game very conservatively. And look, I agree with that. I agree with coming out conservatively, especially, you know, the first couple of possessions. Jaguars were in their own territory. They were a little backed up. So, look, I agree playing conservative. The last thing you need is a situation where he makes a mistake and then the Bills take the lead and then his confidence is shot. And by the way, while his confidence is shot, now you're behind, so now you need your quarterback to make plays. So, look, that's fine. I didn't mind that. But there was one sequence early second quarter that really bothered me, and that was Tyrod Taylor. The Jaguars intercepted Tyrod Taylor early second quarter. They started a possession on the Buffalo 35. So now they're in attack mode, and the game was scoreless at that point. And that's where you can feel like you can open it up, because If you take a shot and you hit something, suddenly you've got the lead. Suddenly your quarterback's got confidence. But if he makes a mistake, you're on the other team's 35. So it's not as big of a deal. It's not a killer, because the Bills still have a long way to go. Even if they make a play on defense, even if your quarterback makes a mistake. And they just played it close to the vest still. I mean, the Jaguars were afraid to let Blake Bortles throw the ball. And it's one thing for a guy not to be good, and look, I'd still be picking against them even if they had opened it up last week, but just because that's how little I think of Bortles. But the fact the coaches don't even think the coaches were terrified to put Bortles in a situation where he had to make a play, and that I just don't think that's going to work against the Steelers. I mean, we know what the formula is for Jacksonville. They have to dominate on defense. They want to run the ball. Again, keep, just like Tennessee, keep the dynamic offense off the field. And look, this is an excellent defense, but I think the Steelers offense is playing much better than it did week five. I think that they are going to get theirs. So I don't think that it's really a viable strategy to play hide the quarterback. I don't think you can play hide the quarterback in road playoff games. I think that the Jaguars just are not going to be able to score with the Steelers. I think the I don't think their defense is going to get shredded, but I think the Steelers' offense is going to play a lot better than they did last time. They'll figure out what went wrong in that first meeting. And again, they're just playing at a higher level now than they were back in October. So I'm going with the Steelers over Jacksonville. And then we head to the final game of Divisional Weekend, which I think is probably the best of the four games. And it's in the right, you know, they got the primetime Saturday game wrong, but they got the late Sunday afternoon game right, and that is the Saints visiting the Vikings. And this is actually a rematch of a Week 1 game, which both teams were in a very different place. You know, the Saints were still trying to figure out things in their secondary. Now they have a couple of rookie contributors who are playing very well. The Vikings, Sam Bradford started that game for the Vikings, to tell you how long ago that was. And I'll tell you, I've been very high on the Saints all year. And I, even before the playoffs started, I was writing on GangreneNation.com about how I felt like the teams with byes maybe were not going to do so well in the NFC. Maybe I like the teams playing on wild card weekend a little more. And that's definitely true in the case of Atlanta versus Philly. And it's kind of funny because, again, I'm kind of going against everything I've been saying, but I've been watching some film on the Vikings this week. I've been thinking about things, and I think I've actually changed my mind a little bit. You know, I like the Saints heading into the playoffs, but I really like this Vikings team the more I've thought about it, and I think I'm going with the Vikings. In fact, I am going with the Vikings. Besides, I'm going with the Vikings over the Saints. As much as I like the Saints team, this Vikings team is just, I really like them. They're a really complete team. They play great defense. I think that they're going to give that New Orleans run game some trouble. And Case Keenum, I'll tell you, there's always the assumption when the backup quarterback goes in and plays on the loaded roster that he's kind of along for the ride. Keenum's actually making some plays for them. I mean, he's actually playing some really effective football, and I think he's going to continue to do that. Now, look, he's got the receivers. He's got a very good offensive system. These things definitely help him, and I'm not sure he's going to have the same success if you stick him back with Jeff Fisher and the Rams last year, but he's doing what he needs to do, and he's even adding some things that are not given to him. You know, there's the quarterback. It's one of the things that separates, I think, the good quarterbacks from the mediocre quarterbacks is a lot of quarterbacks can take what's given to them. The question is, who can take more? You know, who can rip off some more? And I think Keenum's showing an ability to do that. Again, and that really is something that helps the Vikings, because you have receivers who can do that. You have a good scheme. You have a lot of things that are that you like about this Minnesota offense. I think Minnesota is well coached, and I just think what this game comes down to is the Vikings. I think the Vikings are a more complete team than the Saints, and I think they'll have a great home crowd. I mean, this is going to be a crowd that's going to be crowds are always fired up for playoff games, but last weekend I talked about the team that's been out of it for a long time, how great their home crowd is. I think what you're going to have here is a home crowd that's going to have a little something special, because they know they're getting close to hosting a Super Bowl. Hosting their home team in the Super Bowl. So I think that this is a tough spot for the Saints. I like the Saints team. I'm not going to be shocked that they go in there and win this game, but I like Minnesota. So those are my four picks for the weekend. I have Atlanta over Philadelphia early Saturday. I have the Patriots over Tennessee late Saturday. I have Pittsburgh over Jacksonville early Sunday. And I have the Vikings over the Vikings over the Saints late Sunday. Thanks for tuning in today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it again. iTunes, Spotify are among your options, and leave it a good iTunes review. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy the games. We'll be back again next week.